All right, so picture this, right? You're a therapist, and your patient starts spilling some really heavy stuff, like accusations of abuse against a family member.
Ooh, that's tricky.
Yeah, and to make it even more intense, that family member suddenly wants in on the therapy sessions.
Whoa, that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It does, right.
Oh.
And it actually happened in a real legal case that went all the way to the Illinois Supreme Court, Doe v. McKay.
This is one of those cases that really makes you think, huh? It throws a wrench into that whole therapist-patient confidentiality thing.
Right. We always think of that as being unbreakable. But this case asks, what happens when someone outside the therapy room says, hey, I got hurt because of what went down in there?
Yeah, it makes you wonder where the lines are.
Okay, so let's break it down. We've got John Doe, the dad who's suing his daughter's therapist, Bobby McKay.
Okay.
The daughter, Jane Doe, supposedly recovered memories of abuse by her dad during therapy. But John Doe is saying, wait a minute, these therapy methods are bogus. They've ripped my family apart, and I've had to spend a fortune on therapy to deal with all the fallout.
Wow, talk about a mess.
Right. And to add fuel to the fire, McKay also worked for the same practice where John Doe himself was advised to get therapy.
Oh, wow. So there's a potential conflict of interest right there.
Yeah, it definitely makes you raise an eyebrow.
For sure.
So this case went from the circuit court, then to the appellate court, and finally landed in the Illinois Supreme Court.
So, you know, it's a big one when it gets to that level.
Absolutely. And the Supreme Court had to tackle some really fundamental questions here. First off, does a therapist even owe a legal duty of care to someone like a parent who isn't their client?
Right, because typically that duty is only to the patient.
Exactly. And the second question is, does this thing called transferred negligence apply in this situation?
Okay, hold on. I think we need a little refresher on what transferred negligence even means. I'm sure some of our listeners are thinking the same thing.
All right, sounds pretty technical.
Yeah, so think of it like this. Imagine a pregnant woman who gets injured because someone was negligent, and that injury ends up harming her unborn child.
Okay.
Technically, the harm was done to the mother, but it gets transferred to the child. That's the basic idea.
Okay, so basically the harm jumps over from one person to another.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And in Doe v. McKay, the court had to figure out if McKay's actions towards the daughter could be considered negligent towards the father, even though he wasn't her patient.
It's like they're trying to figure out if the harm done in therapy can spill over and impact someone outside that relationship. That's
Exactly.
where things get really interesting. So they had to balance protecting that all-important therapist-patient confidentiality with, addressing the potential for harm to someone not directly involved. What did they end up deciding?
Well, in a decision that I'm sure a lot of therapists were happy about, the court sided with the therapist, dismissing John Doe's claims.
So a big win for confidentiality.
You could say that. The majority opinion really focused on the potential chaos that could happen if therapists were always worried about getting sued by anyone who might be affected by what their patients say.
I can see that. It would create this chilling effect where patients might be afraid to truly open up if they thought their words could be used against them or their family in court.
Exactly. The court basically said that forcing therapists to worry about legal duties to everyone would create a minefield of conflicts of interest.
Right. Imagine a therapist having to choose between what's best for their patient and what might avoid a lawsuit from someone else.
Yeah, impossible.
Plus, therapy is all about that foundation of trust and privacy. It would be so hard to be open and honest if you felt like your therapist was constantly thinking about the legal ramifications for everyone you mention.
Absolutely. The court really hit on those concerns in their opinion. They even wrote that therapists could be subject to suit by any third party adversely affected by a patient's decisions.
Wow, so they're saying anyone impacted by a patient's choices could potentially sue. That sounds like opening the floodgates to litigation.
For sure.
So it sounds like a pretty clear-cut decision in favor of the therapist, but I have a feeling it wasn't unanimous, right?
You're right to be suspicious. There was a dissenting opinion from Justice Harrison. He argued that McKay actually did owe a duty of care to John Doe because she intentionally brought him into those therapy sessions.
Ah, so he's saying that direct involvement created a foreseeable risk of harm.
Exactly. He's saying that John Doe wasn't just some random guy complaining from the sidelines. McKay specifically brought him into the picture.
And so she should have considered the potential impact on him.
Precisely. Justice Harrison even used a really strong phrase to describe John Doe. He called him a tool in the treatment plan.
Wow, a tool in the treatment plan. That's pretty powerful language.
Yeah, it definitely highlights how he was actively part of the process.
So we have the majority emphasizing the therapist-patient relationship and the dissent, saying that intentional involvement changes things.
It's like a classic legal tug of war.
Exactly. And it gets even more complicated when we look at how the court tried to separate this case from that earlier one we mentioned, Renslow v. Mennonite Hospital, the one with the mother and the fetus.
Yeah, they both kind of involve actions towards one person having consequences for another.
Right, so how did the court differentiate the two? Why didn't that transferred negligence concept apply in Doe v. McKay?
Well, they really zoomed in on the unique bond between a mother and a fetus. They argued that kind of singular, biologically connected relationship wasn't there between a parent and an adult child.
So they're saying the type of relationship is a major factor in whether transferred negligence is a thing.
Absolutely. And the type of harm was another biggie. Remember in Renslow, it was physical harm to the fetus. But in Doe v. McKay, the claims were more about emotional distress and the financial burden of therapy.
So it sounds like the relationship dynamic and the nature of the harm are key points here. But did the court give us any sort of roadmap for figuring out when a therapist might be liable to a third party? Did they lay out a specific test or criteria?
Well, they didn't give a strict checklist, but they did point out some important considerations.
Like what?
They emphasized things like the risk of divided loyalties for therapists, the importance of confidentiality, the potential for lawsuits to mess with treatment, and how foreseeable the harm to the third party was.
Okay, so no neat and tidy formula, but we do have a framework to consider in these situations.
Right. And in this particular case, those considerations led them to protect the therapist.
Got it. But I have a feeling this story doesn't end here. There are probably some big implications for both therapists and lawyers, right?
You're so right. But unfortunately, that's all the time we have for part one.
Don't worry, folks. We'll be back with part two to dive into those implications. Stay tuned, because this case is far from over.
You know, this ruling is like a huge weight off therapists' shoulders in Illinois.
Yeah, I bet.
It gives them so much more freedom to actually focus on their patients without constantly worrying about some family member suing them.
That makes sense. It would be so hard to have those deep, meaningful conversations in therapy if you were always looking over your shoulder, worried about legal trouble.
Right. Imagine trying to help someone work through a traumatic experience, but in the back of your mind, you're like, is this going to get me sued?
Yeah, that would totally undermine the whole therapeutic process.
For sure. This ruling allows therapists to create that safe, confidential space for their patients without fearing legal repercussions from people who aren't even directly involved.
So therapists are breathing a sigh of relief, but what about the lawyers? How does this case change things for them?
Well, Doe v. McKay is basically a giant flashing sign for lawyers in Illinois. It sets a clear precedent for therapist liability, which is super important for anyone handling similar cases.
So they know where the lines are now.
Exactly. They know that therapist-patient confidentiality is going to be the deciding factor in most situations, unless we're talking about physical harm or that very specific kind of relationship we saw in Renslow.
Okay, so this case is a big deal for both therapists and lawyers. But I have to ask, does this ruling raise any red flags? I mean, what if a therapist is actually doing something unethical? Like, what if they're intentionally trying to stir up trouble and harm someone?
You've hit a really important point. While this ruling brings much-needed clarity, it also leaves some questions unanswered. Does it give therapists a free pass to act unethically?
Right. Like, what if they intentionally abuse their position of power to hurt someone outside the therapy room?
Yeah, that's a tricky area. It can be really hard to draw a line between professional malpractice and what we're talking about here, liability to a third party.
So are there any safeguards in place to prevent something like that from happening?
Well, the court didn't specifically address situations where a therapist might, for example, encourage a patient to do something harmful to someone else. That's definitely an area where more legal clarification would be helpful.
So even though this decision is a big win for confidentiality, it's not a blanket immunity for therapists. They can still be held accountable if someone can prove they intentionally caused harm.
Right, and that's where Justice Harrison's dissenting opinion comes in. Remember how we focused on foreseeability and the therapist's deliberate decision to include John Doe in the therapy?
Right. He said that created a foreseeable risk of harm.
Exactly. So his argument leaves the door open for future legal challenges, especially in cases with different facts.
So the dissent is saying, hey, if a therapist knows there's a risk of harm and they bring a third party into the mix on purpose, they shouldn't be totally off the hook.
Precisely. And don't forget, the court made a very specific distinction between Doe v. McKay and Renslow based on the type of relationship and the type of harm. So there's definitely a chance that future cases involving physical harm or a relationship more like the one in Renslow could have different outcomes.
So what you're saying is Doe v. McKay sets a precedent, but it's not the end of the story. There's still room for legal debate and interpretation.
Exactly. It's like they built a foundation, but the legal landscape is always shifting.
New cases will come up, pushing the boundaries of this ruling, maybe even leading to new laws.
Exactly. And that leads to another possibility. We might even see state legislatures stepping in to clarify the whole thing.
Oh, interesting. So what could that look like?
Well, imagine a state legislature saying, we want to protect confidentiality, but we also need to protect people from getting hurt.
Yeah.
They could create a law that makes exceptions to the rule set by Doe v. McKay, specifically for situations where the harm to a third party is really obvious or where the relationship is such that there is a higher duty of care.
So, for instance, they could say if a therapist knows their patient is going to hurt someone and they don't try to stop it, they can be held responsible.
Right. Or maybe they'll expand the definition of that unique relationship idea beyond just mother and fetus.
So they might say therapists have a special obligation to protect vulnerable people, like children.
Exactly. So Doe v. McKay is a landmark case, but it's also opened up a whole world of legislative possibilities.
It sounds like this case has sparked a much bigger conversation about balancing those competing interests of confidentiality and protecting people.
Absolutely. And that's what makes this case so fascinating. It goes way beyond one legal decision. It's about a much broader discussion.
Because we're talking about real people's lives here.
Exactly. And that's what makes these conversations so important. How do we ensure that mental health services help people without accidentally enabling harmful behavior?
It's a tough question.
It is. But it forces us to think critically about how to create a system that prioritizes both individual well-being and public safety.
Well said. This case isn't just some dry legal precedent. It has real-world consequences for families, for people seeking mental health care, and for the entire mental health profession.
You're absolutely right. And that's where things get even more interesting. We have to ask ourselves, what happens in the long run when we prioritize therapist-patient confidentiality? What are the ripple effects of this decision?
Those are some big questions.
They are, and those are exactly the questions we'll be exploring in part 3 of this deep dive, so make sure you stick around.
Okay, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive into Doe v. McKay. And you know what they say? Things always get really interesting in the third act.
Especially when we're talking about a case like this that could have so many ripple effects. Remember how we were talking about state legislatures maybe stepping in to clarify all this therapist liability stuff?
Yeah, because even though the Illinois Supreme Court was pretty clear about prioritizing confidentiality, they didn't completely rule out holding therapists responsible for harm to someone else.
Right. It's like they drew this line in the sand, but also said, hey, there might be times when we need to make some exceptions.
So let's imagine those exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a lawmaker trying to balance patient confidentiality with protecting the public, what kind of laws would you think about?
Okay, well, the court was really worried about therapists getting hit with lawsuits from anyone who is unhappy about something a patient said, right?
Right. They wanted to protect therapists from second-guessing themselves or holding back in therapy because they were afraid of legal trouble.
Exactly. But what happens if a therapist knows their patient is actually planning to hurt someone, like a specific person they name? What if the patient says, I'm going to go home and poison my spouse?
Oh, wow. That's a scary thought. Seems like someone should be responsible for preventing that kind of harm.
I agree. And that's when a legislature might step in and say, okay, in situations where there's a real threat of harm to an identifiable person, the therapist has to do something about it. They have a duty to take reasonable steps to protect that person.
So maybe they would have to warn the person who's in danger or call the police.
Exactly. It's all about finding that balance between keeping things confidential and keeping people safe.
So that's one possible exception. What else could lawmakers do?
Well, remember how the court said Doe v. McKay was different from the Renslow case, the one with the mother and fetus? They said the mother-fetus relationship was special, and that's why transferred negligence applied.
Right. They said it was a unique, biologically connected relationship.
Yeah. So what if a legislature decided that other relationships should be treated differently, too?
Like what?
What about therapists and children, especially young kids? They could be more easily influenced or manipulated.
So you're saying that lawmakers might make it easier to hold therapists accountable in those situations?
Right. They could say that if parents can show that a therapist's actions hurt their child, they have a stronger case to sue.
So we could see legislatures making these specific exceptions to confidentiality based on the relationship and the harm that was done.
Exactly. And it doesn't stop there. They could also focus on making things safer for patients. They could make sure therapists get the right training about ethics and confidentiality. They could even require therapists to report certain things, like if a patient is a danger to others.
It sounds like Dovey McKay has opened up a whole new can of worms in the legal and ethical world of therapy.
I think that's a great way to put it. And this is why it's such an important case for anyone working in mental health. It's making people think about these big questions of patient privacy and preventing harm.
Because at the end of the day, these aren't just abstract legal ideas. We're talking about real people and their lives.
You got it. So we have to ask, what happens long term when we put therapist-patient confidentiality first? What are the unintended consequences?
That's a really important question.
It is. It makes us face some hard choices about how to create a system that supports individuals but also keeps everyone safe.
This case really makes you think.
It does. It challenges us to look deeper and figure out how to protect both patients and the public.
Well said. It's clear that Dovey McKay isn't just some boring legal precedent. It affects families, people seeking mental health care, and the entire mental health field.
Absolutely. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into this fascinating case. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I would just say that Dovey McKay is a landmark case that could change how we think about therapist liability and confidentiality for years to come. So keep learning, stay engaged, and keep those brilliant legal minds sharp.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us as we explored this complex legal battle. And always remember, the law is constantly changing and adapting. So stay curious, keep exploring those legal issues, and we'll see you on our next deep dive.